Let's pray. Father, as we approach your word this morning, I just pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to it. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to sanctify us through the indwelling of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would take your word and apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we continued our study in Romans chapter 3, and we looked at that great doctrine called justification. And we're going to continue in that study this morning. Romans 3, verse 24 will be our focal passage. But to give it the proper context this morning, I want us to look at 19 through 24. So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the third chapter of Romans, starting in verse 19. It reads, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." As we look throughout the Bible divides all of mankind in two different groups, being believers and non-believers. You see it metaphorically as the Bible mentions sheep and goats, as well as wheat and tares. The Bible also clearly teaches us that we all start out as a goat. We all start out as a goat. And in fact, that's what Paul is referencing in verse 19 of Romans 3, when it says that we all stand guilty. We all stand guilty before God. This is quite depressing when you think about it. The natural man, apart from Christ, faces condemnation. There's nothing that can be said. There's nothing that can be done. There's nothing that would find merit. The natural man, apart from Christ, stands before God with the declaration of guilty. We all stand guilty. But when we get to verse 21, Paul gives us the good news of the gospel, that if we believe, we find ourselves justified. Now, the reason why I wanted to go to 19 first is that 19 through 20 tells us that we can find no justification. In fact, in 20 it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight." I cannot be justified before God under the law. I am found guilty. You're found guilty. We're all sinners. We've all broken the law. But when you get to verse 21, Paul says, "But now there is a righteousness apart from the law, and we can find justification apart from the law." And that justification is more than just forgiveness, as I mentioned last week. It's not just forgiveness. We're just not a forgiven sinner. We also have the righteous standing of Christ imputed to us. Justification is a wonderful thing because as we stand before a holy and righteous God, we can appear before His throne with boldness because Christ's righteousness has been imputed to us. That's how we have justification. We've been justified. That's what the Bible says, is that we have justification, justified freely by His grace. That's what it says in 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus this morning, you have been justified. And in fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul said, for He made Him, referring to Jesus Christ, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ's righteousness has been imputed to us. He took the penalty for our sin, and in return, His righteousness was imputed to us. This is wonderful. Well, this begs the question, how does this happen? Because we're in darkness as a natural man. We can't understand the things of God being a natural man. The Bible says that the natural man is at enmity with God. So if we're in darkness, if we're at enmity with God, this is something that we can't choose on our own. We're incapable of making that decision. We cannot make that decision because we are in darkness. And in fact, the Bible says that the natural man loves darkness. Well, Paul tells us how we've been justified in verse 24 of Romans 3. It says that we have been justified freely by His grace, and you get that big word there, through. We've been justified freely by His grace through. Through what? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And this morning, I want to look at that word redemption. We've already talked about that great doctrinal word, justification. Now we're going to talk about redemption. Redemption. And I've used this example before in sermons and also in Bible study. But if you are my age or older, you remember green stamps. And if you remember, you went down to the grocery store and you spent money at the grocery store, and to encourage your loyalty at the grocery store, based upon your volume of purchase at the register, these green stamps would come out of the side of the register. And if you remember, you'd take those green stamps, and you had a green stamp book. And so you started collecting green stamps. And depending upon where you lived, you either had a green stamp store that you went in and you redeemed things at the green stamp store, or you could shop out of a catalog, if you remember that. And so you redeemed merchandise. Now, if you're younger and you don't remember green stamps, just think of frequent flyer miles. So you would redeem things for merchandise if you want to use the green stamp example. If you want to use the frequent flyer example, you redeemed your points, right, for a flight. And the person who redeems is called the redeemer, right? The person who redeems is called the redeemer. And in fact, if you think about redemption, it says that we've had redemption through Jesus Christ. You cannot have redemption unless you have a redeemer. You can't have redemption unless you have a redeemer, which leads us to Isaiah 49. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to Isaiah 49. And I want you to turn with me to verse 6. As we look at this prophetic word referring to Jesus Christ. Prophetic word referring to Jesus Christ. Isaiah wrote in verse 6, Indeed, he says, this is referring to the prophetic word of Jesus, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is God telling Jesus, it's not just enough that you're going to redeem Israel. You're also going to redeem the Gentiles. In verse 7, it says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to whom man despises, to whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Who is he speaking to? The Redeemer of Israel. If you have redemption, you got to have a Redeemer. And Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He is a Redeemer. Well, to have a Redeemer, you've got to have something to redeem, and you have to have something as a currency in that transaction. You couldn't go to a green stamp store and say, I'll give you cash. They didn't do that. You had to have green stamps. The green stamps was your currency in the transaction. Same thing with frequent flyer miles. Your currency in the transaction is your points. There has to be a currency. If you have a redemption, there has to be a currency to redeem. Well, what is our currency? 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us what the currency is in our redemption that Paul is referring to in Romans chapter 3. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1, looking at verse 17. It says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. In other words, you weren't redeemed with currency. You weren't redeemed with currency. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers. But, Peter's fixing to tell us what the currency was. But, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. What was our currency? It wasn't with corruptible things. We were purchased off of the slave block of sin, and the currency that was used in that redemption was the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. That was the currency. Jesus Christ, through justification, imputed his righteousness to us. Our sin debt was paid by him, and we were redeemed. We were redeemed. We were purchased. We were purchased. That was the currency. Why do you think we celebrate the Lord's table? The juice is in remembrance of the currency that was used to redeem us. To redeem us. We have been redeemed. Now, there's a redeemer, there's a currency, and then there is the redeemed. Now, I remember I always coveted my grandmother's green stamps, and I would go out to Odessa and spend this couple of weeks with her every summer, and Grandma always had these books of green stamps. And I would go through the green stamp store. It was a block from their house, and look around, and I would always pick out something that I wanted. And then I would try my best to hound my grandmother to give me her green stamps. And of course, I know you can all relate to this, but you know, when you recalled your first and middle name, she was serious. And so it wasn't Monty, it was Monty Craig, you are not getting my green stamps. And I knew to lay off. But there was an object, right? For if you are the Redeemer, there was an object. There was an object that I wanted. Now, my grandmother had other designs for those green stamps, but there was an object. And it was specific. There was some toy or something on a shelf that I wanted. It was a specific object. In other words, not everybody gets redeemed. Redemption isn't universal. We don't deserve it. It's not by merit. After all, Paul told us earlier in Romans 3 and verse 10, he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. In other words, there is a specificness in redemption. But unlike me walking the aisles of a green stamp store, finding something that caught my eye to where I thought that's worthy of redemption, and then worthy to hound my grandmother for the currency that I needed to redeem. We are not worth redeeming. There is no merit in our life that would find us with favor before a holy and righteous God. Nothing. Nothing. There's none that are righteous. No, not one. There is none who seeks after God. We're not redeemable from a worthy standpoint. There's nothing in our life that God would find redeemable that would have merit. Nothing that I've done, nothing that you've done, no good works, no kind words, no act of merit. We do not find anything in our life that is redeemable. Specific, but not worthy. Specific, but not worthy. And in fact, if you look at Isaiah 53, it talks about that specificness. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 10, is 53 is known as the chapter of the suffering servant. And it talks about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross prophetically. He says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. When you make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the labor of His soul and be satisfied. By His knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with His transgressors, and He bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I want to point out something here. It says many. It does not say all. It says many. It does not say all. In other words, there is a specific redemption. Jesus Christ chose us, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, He chose us before the foundation of the world, and it is specific redemption, even though we are not redeemable through our acts in our own life. There is a specific redemption. Specific. As we start wrapping up college football season, if you think about 12 games being played, if you lost 7, do you have a winning season? No, you have a losing season. And I want to point out something about specific redemption in our view of Jesus Christ. There is a specific redemption with specific people. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ said, I will lose none. He tells the Father, I will lose none that you have given me. Jesus Christ has a perfect season. Because as he redeems every single person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's absolute victory. It's absolute victory. We're not going to be surrounded by the throne and say, well, he did the best he could. That's not correct theology. As we surround the throne, he loses none. He loses none. Even though we're not redeemable by merit, he loses none. There is specific redemption, and because there's specific redemption, you and I will bend the knee and we will declare that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because his perfection is not only displayed in a perfect life. His perfection is displayed in a specific redemption, and we will sing victory in Jesus, not because he redeemed some of us. We will sing victory because he has redeemed all of us. So if you think, well, gee, if I don't have anything in my life, if you think about back to my redemption example, there's a redeemer, there's a currency, there's a redemption, it's specific, but there's got to be a purpose, right? Now, as I was wandering the aisles of the green stamp store, the specificness was I wanted to have fun with that, whatever that toy I wanted, right? Now, my grandmother, she wanted to redeem something, and it was for a purpose. She probably wanted some cooking apparatus. But there was some specificness in that. Think about an airline flight. Frequent flyer points, you just took a random draw and say, oh, I won a trip to someplace you didn't want to go. That's no fun. But no, you save your points because there's a specific destination that you want to go to. There is a purpose. In other words, there's a purpose in the redemption, right? There's a purpose, whether it's green stamps or it's frequent flyer miles, and yes, as well as our salvation, there is a purpose in the redemption. Let's look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us, let's stop right there. What is that? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, what is that? That's specific redemption, right? He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Specificness, why? There's got to be a purpose. Why? It tells us that, here's the purpose, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The specific redemption, when you and I aren't redeemable, the specific redemption is that we should be holy and that we should glorify him. We were redeemed for a purpose. For a purpose. People say, well, I was saved just so I could go to heaven. No, you were not. You were not. You were saved for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God in your life, to be holy, to be righteous, to be to the praise of His glory. It's specific, and it's for a purpose. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing for our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We've been redeemed for a purpose. It's not willy-nilly. Our name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and he redeemed us in spite of ourselves for a purpose, that we should be his own special people, that we should be holy. Just as you redeem airline points for a specific trip, just as you redeem green stamps for a specific purchase, you and I were redeemed for a purpose. A purpose. We weren't redeemed so that we could live our life however we wanted to, with the assurance that we're going to get to heaven and we just have this life of ease here on earth. You and I were redeemed so that we might glorify God in our life. Yes, we go to heaven. Yes, we appear before him in glory in our glorified state. Yes, we have a relationship with God. It's for a purpose. How are we justified? We were redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Precious blood. Precious, not cheap. Specific. Specific. Every single drop of blood was shed for those that our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It should be precious to us. Why should we be zealous for good works? It says that we've been his own special people, zealous for good works. Why should I be zealous for good works? It's because I realize and you realize that we were not a redeemable people. God didn't see anything good in us, but he redeemed us in spite of that. Redemption is wonderful. It should give us joy. It should give us zeal to live a holy life. It should give us zeal to serve in his kingdom because we have been redeemed. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we just thank you that even though we don't have anything that we can bring you, that through your grace, you have redeemed us. I pray, Lord, that we'd never forget that. I pray, Lord, that we'd have joy in that, that we would exalt you because of it. I pray that we would desperately want others to accept you, that we'd recognize what we have and we would convey that specialness in our witness to other people. I pray, Lord, that this church might be a beacon and a witness to our community. In Jesus' name, amen.